fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're recapping Sunday's action.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Eve, and Chris.
Monday, November 28th, as we are ready to wrap up Week 12 and waiting for the Monday night game tonight, Green Bay at Philadelphia. Adam, Heath, and Chris here, and we got a lot to talk about. Tyreek Hill, Taylor Gabriel, some of the duds from yesterday, like all of the Seahawks. What's up, guys? Good morning. Happy Monday.
Hey, this is Anxiety Monday.
Oh, really?
For me, at least.
Okay.
Yeah. I've told you pretty much all year that I've been stuck right around 500.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got like six teams that could be eliminated tonight.
Wow. Yeah, I had an awful, awful fantasy day yesterday.
I didn't have an awful day. I just had like the most unrevealing day ever. Every league comes down to tonight almost.
So who do you need tonight?
Let's see. I've got a league where I need Mason Crosby to score less than 4 points.
That's not happening.
I've got a league where I need Wendell Smallwood to score less than two.
Okay, I'm in on that's not going to happen either, but I'm in on him having a bad game. That would help me quite a bit.
I need Randall Cobb and Zach Ertz to combine for 11 PPR points.
That should happen.
I need Zach Ertz and Jordan Matthews to combine for 23 PPR points.
Ooh, Chris, over under 23 on that?
For who?
Jordan Matthews and Zach Ertz, over under 23 PPR fantasy points.
I think they'll get there.
Okay, good. I feel better about it now.
Good. Chris?
Several other things.
I don't care anymore.
So they can eliminate you.
You can eliminate me?
Yeah.
In what league?
IDP league.
Oh, you're kidding. Wait, but we have another week, no?
Yeah, but you're going to be 6-6, and there's going to be like seven teams with seven wins.
So you've eliminated me officially, or it's up in the air?
Tonight.
For sure?
I have Aaron Rodgers and two defensive players. You have James Starks, and I think we're tied.
So I have a chance here. I feel good about it.
I believe I will have clinched a playoff spot in both of my two biggest leagues.
Nobody cares about your teams, Chris.
Yeah, Chris.
Nobody cares about your teams.
Yeah.
Actually, I wanted to start the show with some thoughts about your NFL teams, the two of you, okay?
Oh, who's my NFL team?
The Dolphins, no?
Okay.
Well, I thought you were you're not a Dolphins fan?
All
right. He is totally a Dolphins fan.
I don't root for anything or anyone.
Oh, great. Well, you're full of life. So, Heath, first of all, to the Chiefs. Tremendous game last night. Tremendous win.
Yeah, it was. I was texting my buddies during that game because I'm a Chiefs fan, and I know I'm supposed to really like my team. I get so frustrated watching them play.
Yeah, I could see that, but really what I wanted to say was basically that win last night, all it did was clinch the AFC championship and a Super Bowl berth for the New England Patriots.
I think it puts the Chiefs in the Chiefs are in the driver's seat to win the division.
Huh.
Well, the reason why because the only team that can beat the Patriots in the playoffs is Denver if they host the Patriots. The Patriots have trouble winning in Denver. Other than that, no chance the Patriots are not winning the AFC. And now there's no chance that Denver's going to have a better record and host the Patriots. No chance.
The third best team in the AFC West.
Who, Denver?
Yes.
Yeah. But if they had won last night, they're 8-3. They host the Patriots later this year. They have a chance to have a better record or the same record and the tiebreaker and host them in the playoffs. That's not happening. Game over. Patriots going to the Super Bowl. Chris, about the Dolphins, your favorite team ever. The Dolphins throwback jerseys are 100 times better than the Dolphins.
Oh, absolutely.
Current jerseys.
The shade of teal that they use, the helmet is much better. I love it.
I am absolutely cheering for the Dolphins to make the playoffs, by the way.
Good. Good.
I'd love to see the Dolphins get the sixth seed and the Broncos miss the playoffs.
I'll break out my Chris Chambers Dolphins jersey that I bought 12 years ago.
Also, if you rode Jay Ajayi to the fantasy playoffs, sorry, it's over.
Well, if they get healthy on the offensive line, it could be fine.
These are injuries they have are not the type that they're just going to all get healthy at once, I don't think.
Could be.
Best scenario, they maybe get one guy back next week. Their schedule's awful.
Yep.
Awful. Yep.
Okay, we'll get to that. Let's talk fantasy and start with our stat of the day. Tyreek Hill, 56% owned. Started in only 7% of leagues last night. Hill is the first player since Gale Sayers in 1965 to have a receiving, rushing, and return touchdown in the same game. Holy cow, Tyreek Hill, 56% owned. What do you think?
He's fast. Really, really fast.
He's real fast.
He's really cool. If you start three wide receivers, he's must start the rest of the way.
Oh, I definitely don't agree with that.
Because of the way the Chiefs are using him. And they don't have... Like, the difference is, we talked about Taylor Gabriel, and we're going to talk about him later in the show, too. Like, the Falcons have a couple of legitimately good offensive weapons. The Chiefs don't have any good offensive weapons.
Okay.
Hill's going to get touches and targets every game.
Uh-huh.
They're running this wildcat thing in short yardage. He threw him a slant in the red zone.
He had 9 fantasy points 3 weeks ago. He had 5 last week. And he had 55 yards yesterday.
Okay.
That's not a must-start player.
Well, also, all 3 of those games came without Jeremy Maclin. What happens when Maclin comes back?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think he's earned himself a pretty big role in the offense when Maclin comes back.
He's a bigger, he's not a better receiver than Jeremy Maclin.
He's not.
I mean, Jeremy Maclin's not as good as he was 2 years ago, and Chris likes to act like Jeremy Maclin was a number one at some point.
He was. But
what? He was a top 20 receiver.
I don't even know.
No, he was great the 1 year under Chip Kelly.
He was great 1 year under Chip Kelly.
This is very strange.
Jeremy Maclin hate?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't know if a guy, like, yes, he's gotten 10 plus targets in 2 of the last 3 games. He's had 1 good fantasy game. He had 55 yards yesterday and happened to score 3 touchdowns. I don't think that makes him a must start number 3 wide receiver.
9 fantasy points is a number 2 wide receiver, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's had 2 top 24 weeks. Yes.
Okay. Well, all right. So disagreement there. I think at the very least you want to pick him up, and then we'll see if you're starting him or you're sitting Tyreek Hill. Tweet of the day number 1 comes from Peter Dempsey. Actually, there are 2 tweets of the day. Tweet of the day number 1 from Peter. How have we not discussed on the podcast that Heath Cummings has a striking resemblance to Justin Tucker?
Yeah, I just looked this up, yeah. Especially in his official roster photo, he looks a lot like...
Oh, yeah, wow.
I've never really noticed that.
It's pretty fantastic.
That's great. Thank you, Peter Dempsey. Good stuff. Very handsome, Heath. Tweet of the day number 2 comes from me. I tweeted this yesterday. Take away DeMarco Murray's 75-yard run against Green Bay, and Murray is averaging 3.1 yards per carry over his last 4 games. No takeaways here. Just interesting. And then it was immediately pointed out to me that I said takeaway twice in the same tweet, and then but one of it was no takeaways here. So that was kind of fun. But the thing is, Murray had that big long run. Other than that, he's kind of struggled, and it all coincides with that ankle injury, or toe injury rather, that he suffered on that Thursday night game. Since then, he hasn't really been running that well. Do you guys have any takeaways from that tweet? Awesome tweet by me.
No, I think it's probably going to depend for me on, I can't even think about sitting DeMarco Murray at any point.
I think you must know about his tweet, not...
No, well, it was a great tweet, sure.
I would not have retweeted that tweet.
I do wonder if Derrick Henry maybe could get more of a role. He played pretty well yesterday. He scored a touchdown. I agree. No one's sitting DeMarco Murray, but it's just interesting. It's got to be injury related here. And some of the Titans fans that read that tweet just said he hasn't looked very good recently. Yeah, I don't know. Just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I mean that stuff happens. They played 13 games. They're 12 games in a row without a bye. They're them and the Browns are the only team that can say that. So I think getting the week off is definitely going to help. And I'm not worried about it.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good point. They do have a bye now. By now, the big news. Rob Gronkowski left with a back injury in the first quarter, and we just don't know the severity right now, but they've got the Rams, the Ravens, Broncos, Jets, and Dolphins left on the schedule. Lamar Miller hurt his ankle late in the game. No update there. Didn't seem too serious. Jason Lockenfora reported that Andrew Luck could have played had his Week 12 game been on Sunday instead of Thursday, so we should expect him Monday night at the Jets. Derek Carr hurt his pinky, it went the wrong way, and then he came back, he only missed one series.
It was really gross looking.
It was hideous.
Immediately thought of Jamie.
Bill Romanowski said he didn't want it bad enough.
Jordan Reed has a separated shoulder, and you know you might want to pick up Vernon Davis if Reed is out.
Yeah.
But their next two matchups are against the Cardinals, who are the number one team against tight ends, and the Eagles, who are number three. We'll see how the Eagles do tonight against Jared Cook. You know. Sorry, did you say something?
No, I laughed because the idea that Jared Cook was like a measuring stick for how they were doing against tight ends. Not that you were wrong in that.
If they struggle against Jared Cook, you're going to feel better about any tight end going up against the Eagles. That's all I'm saying. Chris Ivory, called by Chris Towers a couple weeks ago, starting to play pretty well, and he left with a hamstring injury. And then Denver and Minnesota, the Jaguars schedule, sorry Allen Robinson owners, Denver and Minnesota in their next 2 weeks. Not very good upcoming here. Stephon Diggs did not practice on Sunday. They've got the Dallas game on Thursday. John Brown left in the second half with a hamstring injury. Devontae Parker left with a back injury, but it does seem like he should play in week 13 at Baltimore. I love Devontae Parker. This guy is awesome. He had 42 yards and a touchdown overturned on replay review, and so it wasn't a very good fantasy day for him. But Heath, are you ready to buy in now?
If he had Quincy Enunwa body control, it would have been a fantastic day.
Good point.
Yeah, I'll buy into him as a borderline number two.
So it's not even a question. I mean, we'd rather have him than Tyreek Hill, right?
Yes, yes. But he's also pretty much universally owned at this point, right?
Yes. Would you rather have Tyreek Hill? I might as well just ask this since we've been teasing it. Or Taylor Gabriel?
Oh, Hill.
Hill.
Hill? Okay.
We'll point out, I looked it up.
Yes.
The game 3 weeks ago for Tyreek Hill that you said was a number two game.
Right.
He was the number 32 wide receiver. He tied with Michael Floyd.
Wow. That's a high-scoring week.
Must have been. I think it's probably better to use the season-long averages of what a number two receiver is than the one specific week that he did it.
I'm not really sure what the season-long averages are anymore. They have changed.
Right.
But you're not going to be disappointed with 9 fantasy points from a guy you picked up off the waiver wire, that's for sure.
Oh, but I'm not going to say that a guy with 9 fantasy points as his second-best game is a must-start guy.
That's fair.
That's all.
Allen Hurns left after hurting his hamstring on his touchdown catch. By the way, every time, well, twice now, Julius Thomas has missed the game. Allen Hurns has scored in that game, but he might not be available next week. Marquise Wilson dropped a touchdown, and then he kicked the ball into a stadium employee in the fourth quarter. Did you see that? It was awesome.
They kept showing the replay, too. It was phenomenal. He kicked right into the guy's butt.
How does Marquise Wilson measure up with Tyreek Hill and Taylor Gabriel?
I think I'd rather have him than any of them, based on what he did yesterday.
For 2 weeks, though? Or because what happens when Jeffrey comes back?
Yeah. That's half the season, you know? That's half the remaining season, so I'm not so sure I'm worried about that. You know, he got 11 targets, caught 8 of them, 125 yards and a touchdown. That's a really good game.
I would rather have Wilson than Gabriel. I'd rather have Hill than Wilson.
Okay. And Baltimore did the holding thing. I didn't like it. It's a good call. It's not, you know, it's nothing illegal. I think that sucks that they've done that now twice.
Well, it is illegal. They got a flag thrown for it.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So they instructed, they punted the ball with what, like 12 seconds left? I don't know. And they instructed all of their linemen to just hold the opponent so their punter could hold the ball, run out the clock, and run out of the end zone for a safety or whatever he did. And it worked, and that was the end of the game. If they had done it twice in a row, the officials could have called a palpably unfair play or something like that and said, no, you can't do that twice in a row. I just don't think that's in the spirit of football. And I'm not criticizing the Ravens. They did what they had to do. Yeah, I didn't like it. That's all I got to say.
It's fine.
Actually, I did go on a little bit of a rant on the radio show on Saturday night. Eye on Fantasy Football, CBS Sports Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Did you guys college football fans feeling it at all?
I watch zero college football.
Jim Harbaugh is such a baby. I'm not even going to be like, well, he has a point. No, he is a whiny baby who has sleepovers with recruits. That's why he has sleepovers, because he's an eighth grader. What a baby whining about those calls. Just horrible look for Jim Harbaugh. What a whiny baby.
Yeah, but terrible officiating.
It would be weird if his recruits were having sleepovers with eighth graders, though. So.
That would be weird. But listen.
12th graders.
It wasn't terrible officiating, Heath. Like, there is, you cannot sit there and look at that spot and say he didn't get it. It was very questionable. Personally, I think he did get the first down.
No, I think the spot thing was not probably what Harbaugh was most upset about, was it?
There were three calls.
The lack of penalties called on Ohio State all day, and then those specific calls as well?
Well, first of all, the interference call on the Michigan cornerback, what he said was uncatchable, that was 100% interference. Like, that ball was probably uncatchable. It was not definitely uncatchable. For something to be uncatchable, usually you see, like, 5 feet over the guy's head. It was definitely pass interference. Even the cornerback himself was, like, patting his chest, like, that's on me. The one on Ohio State that wasn't called, probably the most legit gripe he has. But for you, like, you lost the game, dude. You lost the game. Don't whine. You're a baby. I was really disappointed.
I, for one, am just surprised that you are so supportive of Ohio State getting pass interference calls.
I hate Ohio State. I was rooting for Michigan so hard at this. Yes, Chris.
Maybe it's just been so long since Miami played in a game of this magnitude that you've forgotten about the emotions that it can bring up.
Probably true.
The U has been back like four times in the last decade, sir.
We won four in a row. We are back. Now, let's do some arithmetic. Let's do some fantasy math, okay?
Okay.
Fantasy points for Russell Wilson plus Josh McCown plus Frank Gore equals Matt Barkley's 26 fantasy points. Did you see that equation coming?
Just like we all expected, I think.
Yeah. I think we're also done. Done.
What?
Frank Gore is done.
Frank Gore is done?
Season over.
Well, are you crazy?
Nope.
Frank Gore is fine beginning this week.
I don't think so.
He is completely tied to Andrew Luck.
Okay.
They move the ball, he'll be fine.
I don't think the Colts are going to be able to run the ball against the Jets.
He's not a good running back. Doesn't matter. He'll catch a touchdown.
They're not going to be able to run the ball against the Vikings.
Vikings don't have that good of a run defense.
Colts don't have that good of a run offense.
He hasn't been running the ball well all year.
He was a very borderline guy. This schedule, the next 3 weeks, I'd be very unhappy if you start him.
He hasn't been running the ball well all year, and he's still been able to produce because luck relies on him so much.
You got one of those words right, luck.
Get fine. It's not luck. I mean, he's the only running back who gets touches basically in a good offense. It's like Starks. Starks isn't a good running back, but he still manages to score. And
the Packers' offense is better than the Colts.
Oh yeah, definitely. But Gore's probably better than Starks. Gore's not that good.
Used to be for sure.
All right, fantasy math. Todd Gurley plus DeMarco Murray plus LeGarrette Blount plus Doug Martin equals Mark Ingram in his 28 fantasy points.
On what? 18 touches, 14 carries. 14 carries for 140 plus yards. He had a really good game. I mean, amazing that he's able to be good after fumbling that ball one time.
Oh, come on. Twice.
We all, no, not you, Chris, but Dave and Jamie and I all had Mark Ingram ranked way too low this week. I feel bad if you benched Mark Ingram, but I don't feel, I guess, as bad as Dave and Jamie did. Somebody was tweeting at us, trying to get us to apologize for telling him to bench Mark Ingram. And Dave and Jamie actually apologized to him on Twitter, and I didn't.
Was he mean? Was this person mean about it, or just like?
No, he wasn't really mean about it.
I mean, where'd you guys have him ranked?
20s, low 20s, like 28, 29.
Tough matchup. This was a really weird game.
Well, he was questionable Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And he was splitting carries with Tim Hightower, and it was a bad matchup. But he had a very good game. I was wrong. I am sorry. I'm just not sorry specifically to the person that asked me to say I was sorry.
It was just a really weird game, though.
Why?
Why was it a weird game?
Yeah. Well, Willie Snead had a passing touchdown.
Right.
Michael Thomas, after doing relatively nothing over the previous 2 weeks, had two touchdowns. Brandon Cooks didn't have a target.
Yeah, that's weird.
Josh Hill had like 14 catches for 800 yards. It was really like at halftime, Josh Hill and Kobe Fleener had 109 yards and Brandon Cooks didn't have a target. It was a weird game.
That's weird. Yeah, they were sticking it to Greg Williams. There's no doubt about that. And, the Rams defense just doesn't really travel. This is three road games where they've been absolutely blistered. I know Detroit was one of them. I don't remember the other one. Tampa Bay. And, I don't think the Rams defense is all that great. I don't know. They should be better than their, you know, their personnel is better than this, but they have some cornerback issues too. Anyway, Ingram, do you think he's still gonna split? Cause it's 50-50. What do you think the split is with Hightower now? He's, come on, like, just turn him loose.
Well, he's played his best football when he was splitting with Hightower, and coaches are extremely results biased, so I would expect he's going to continue splitting.
I would bet on 60-40 Ingram.
Okay. More fantasy math. Demaryius Thomas plus Larry Fitzgerald plus Russell Wilson again and his 10 fantasy points plus Antonio Gates, 0. Equals Taylor Gabriel and his 21 fantasy points.
I'm gonna alter this one just a little bit to make it even more depressing.
Okay.
Instead of Russell Wilson and his 10 points, you can add in Julio Jones and T.Y. Hilton and their combined 10 points. Demaryius Thomas, Larry Fitzgerald, Julio Jones, T.Y. Hilton, Antonio Gates equals Taylor Gabriel.
You could throw in Brandon Cooks.
Cooks, yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So, okay, we talked about Taylor Gabriel, but let's talk a little bit more. How excited are you about him? He's 10% owned.
He's Anton Smith.
I don't agree with that. I'm not as excited about adding him as I am several other receivers. But he's had, what, 5 targets in 4 straight games? 50 yards in 3 straight? And, like, the main difference between Matt Ryan this year and last year, other than TD regression, which was just going to happen, is that he's willing to spread the ball around when teams decide to take Julio away. Mm-hmm. And I think you can look at the schedule and see, now the Chiefs aren't going to do it next week because Peters doesn't travel. I don't know if I, looking at their schedule now, see another game where it's going to happen. But that's the reason I'm not too excited about adding it.
Yeah, he's got five touchdowns in 4 games on 16 touches, I believe. Yeah, I can't get too excited about that.
He should be more than 10% owned.
Sure.
Yeah, it could be tough without bye weeks to find a spot in your starting lineup for a guy like Taylor Gabriel or even for a guy like Tyreek Hill. But if you need something, then these are talented players. Obviously, Gabriel can fly. Hill's even faster. Talented players that you could pick up. I just want to turn it over to you guys. Because I've talked about a lot of things here. We talked about Gabriel. We've talked about Hill, DeMarco Murray, Russell Wilson a little bit. We'll get into some more of the duds. Anything that has jumped out of you, like major storylines that I've missed so far? Or am I just that good?
Mike Evans.
Yeah, he's good.
Mike Evans, you know, there was a lot of fear of avoiding him against the Seahawks and, you know, specifically Richard Sherman, because they were missing Deshaun Shedd. And in DFS, I think it was still the right call to go away from Mike Evans. But if you benched Mike Evans in your season long, it was just, there was no reason to do that. He's had good games against teams like Arizona, Atlanta twice with Trufant. This guy's really good. He's really involved in the offense. He's the number one receiver in fantasy right now.
Well, okay, so then how about Julio Jones? Because, you know, the argument will be, well, nobody benched him. He's 97% started, by the way, Mike Evans. But, you know, Julio had a bad game, and Chris and I, we talked about this when we previewed the game on Friday. He completely dominated Patrick Peterson 2 years ago, and he was great at Seattle. And I think Richard Sherman's still one of the best, but I think he's probably lost a tiny bit. Richard Sherman covering an elite receiver one-on-one. Brandon Marshall got him. You know, Brandon Marshall got a lot of targets. Mike Evans got him. Julio Jones got him. So it happens. But what do you have to say about Julio Jones, and who had a really bad day for his fantasy owners?
I think it was it wasn't totally expected, but we knew it was within the realm of possibility. I know that Julio Jones had a great day against the Cardinals the last time that he faced Patrick Peterson. But I didn't expect him to repeat that type of performance. It's a disappointment. But what am I going to do? I'm not benching Julio Jones.
Right.
It is worth noting he is on pace for, well, he's averaging his fewest targets per game since 2012.
Which just goes back to what we talked about before. Matt Ryan's just spreading the ball around. It's much better for their offense.
Yeah. Okay, anything else? Heath, anything for you?
I think Sammy Watkins, I did not at all want to start him this week because I wanted to see it 1 week first, and he's back. He's a solid number two wide receiver moving forward, and it makes Tyrod Taylor a borderline number one again.
And I'll say maybe the most worrisome development, although I think it's probably matchup-driven yesterday, the Patriots running backs, they pretty much all had the same amount of snaps, Blunt, White, and Lewis in that order. They all had less than 30 snaps. I think this was a situation where we know the Jets' run defense is great, so Blunt didn't get – he got his fewest carries all season, 11 carries. But in terms of White and Lewis, guys, we might have two fantasy duds on our rosters here.
We might have three fantasy studs on our roster.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with my same idea on Deion Lewis. I'd rather start him than James White, but I don't want to start either one of them.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go.
Right, at least Lewis gets carries. And like, I think he had six. And without Gronkowski, Chris Hogan played slightly more snaps than Edelman. They both played a ton. But Malcolm Mitchell, the snap count wasn't quite up there, but this is two games in a row where Mitchell's looked good. He had a bit of a fluky play against the Niners, but two touchdowns against the Jets, and he's barely owned. So how do you feel about Malcolm Mitchell?
I think he's in the Taylor Gabriel range.
Yeah, I'd rather have him than Gabriel because I don't know how quickly Gronk's coming back. And again, the Patriots don't really have good receivers. They've got Julian Edelman, but that's about it. And I think there was some talk at the beginning of the year about how the Patriots were excited about Malcolm Mitchell, and he kind of just disappeared. He got hurt, disappeared. Looks like Brady trusts him, at least in the red zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it time to start worrying about Martellus Bennett as like, is he worth owning right now?
Well, it's just so he's a tight end.
Yeah, but he's been an especially bad one.
He's banged up. Hurt.
Yeah, he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's disappointing because I thought after they came back after the bye, and he had a big game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then two games without Rob Gronkowski, or seven out of eight quarters without Rob Gronkowski, and Bennett has done nothing. And it's shocking because if Rob Gronkowski gets hurt, and Bennett, who's 92% owned, is like 62% owned, under normal circumstances, we're saying that this should be the most added guy in fantasy. But four catches for 36 yards in his last two games, and very, very baffling.
Hasn't reached 40 since week 6, with the exception of that big week 10 game. Yeah.
Very strange. I don't think I'm going to drop him because I fear someone picking him up and playing him against me and him finally having the game that we expect. But, yeah, I don't know if I'm starting him against the Rams next week. All right, well, listen, we all know I had a great time going to an NFL game a few weeks ago, and now I got the Red Hot Chili Peppers coming to town, a lot of things to see. You should go to a game, you should go to a concert, and you should use SeatGeek to get there. Download the SeatGeek app right now with our offer code FFT. You're getting $20 back after your first purchase. The offer code is FFT, an awesome offer from SeatGeek. And even after you use that code and get your $20 rebate, you're still going to buy tickets from SeatGeek because SeatGeek will search multiple ticket sites and give you a bunch of options, and that's how you get the lowest prices. You search for an event, you see the prices from different sources, you see the best bargains, you buy the tickets, you get the $20 back with our offer code FFT, and every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code FFT. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app. Enter the promo code FFT. All right, it's time to talk about the duds. And let's go to email of the day number one at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. It's from Dustin from South Florida. That bacon sriracha cornbread that Chris made must have been terrible if he compared it to Thomas Rawls this week. So if we look at the Seahawks and Wilson and Rawls and Baldwin, they were all busts on the road at Tampa Bay. Is this something to be go ahead, Chris. Is this something to be concerned about, or is this a trend?
I don't think it's anything to be concerned about. I think it was a fluky bad game.
Right. I'm sorry. I meant a fluke, not a trend.
If you told me the weird thing about this game is if you had told me Russell Wilson was going to rush for 80 yards, I probably would have bet on him being the top fantasy quarterback of the week. And he was not that. And that's really disappointing, but I think this offense is too efficient. It's a bad game against what should have been a really easy matchup, but that happens sometimes. You know, the Patriots offense wasn't great against the Jets yesterday either.
Yeah. Okay. Other duds. Brandon Cooks. Was this something to be concerned about, or is this just weird?
Well, it's just weird, but I got a tweet yesterday asking me if we should just consider Brandon Cooks kind of a boom-bust number three. I think he's, like, I had decided that he was a boom-bust number three on the road and a must-start borderline number one at home. Maybe he's just a low-end number two boom-bust everywhere. Good matchup against Detroit this week at home. I'm still going to start Brandon Cooks, but if I have, I benched Michael Thomas in one league for Cooks this week just because they were at home. I won't do that again.
Well, he's got three games this year with more than 70 yards with five games to play. So the most he could get is eight. That's not happening. He had nine games with more than 70 yards last year. So Cooks, even when he's been good, has largely been touchdown dependent, which is fine. I mean, Breeze is going to throw a lot of touchdowns at home. I still think you're starting him at home, right? Detroit this week and then week 16 against Tampa Bay. They're on the road in weeks 14 and 15.
And, you know, you're probably – I'm not sure it's going to be too terrible at Arizona, because who do you think Arizona is going to put Patrick Peterson on?
Well, I expect Tyrann Mathieu to be healthy. Well, I hope anyway at that point. Does it matter? He's never good on the road. He's rarely good on the road.
Yeah, that's true. You don't want to start him at Tampa Bay.
I'm not gonna be in love with it, Chris.
I'm starting him against Tampa Bay. Yeah, I know they were really good yesterday. The defensive line, especially, was good yesterday. But Drew Brees is so good at getting the ball out quickly that I still think he can have a good game.
Okay, Lamar Miller, guys, 57 rushing yards, 18 receiving yards. Miller has not had 30 receiving yards in a game yet this season, which is crazy to me. But he fumbled, came up inches short of a rushing touchdown in the second quarter, so it could have been a better game. But your thoughts on Lamar Miller, who was a dud yesterday?
You can't sit Lamar Miller as long as he's healthy, for sure. I mean, if he has a touchdown yesterday, came up a few inches short, like you said, we're not talking about it at all. And it's just any running back that's going to get 20 touches every week, there's no way I'm sitting him.
I do want to test that theory, and we'll come back to that in a second. But let me just ask you about Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen, four catches, 45 yards. This is four of his last five games where Olsen has had four or fewer fantasy points in standard scoring leagues, no more than 52 yards in any of those games. And I think there is a scenario where you're considering sitting him at Seattle this upcoming week. It's probably unrealistic. He's probably the only tight end you have. But do you think Greg Olsen owners should be looking at other options?
Like, you said it best. You're not going to feel good about starting him against Seattle, but I can't think of a tight end that's going to be available on the waiver wire right now that I can go pick up that I would realistically start over Greg Olsen. He's going to get targets. He's had a bad stretch. This offense is not what we expected it to be. But who am I picking up off the waiver wire that I'm starting over Greg Olsen?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about, like, the best tight ends on the waiver wire of late would be, like, CJ Fedorowicz, who didn't have a good game yesterday. Cameron Brate did, but he's probably not that widely available. Maybe someone in your league drops Eric Ebron. That's the only realistic one I could think of.
Who just put up a zero.
Who just put up a zero, sure, but has been getting a lot of targets of late. But he hasn't been that much better than Greg Olsen either.
I don't know that he has been better than Greg Olsen.
He had a rushing touchdown, right? That kind of that kind of like skews things a little. I mean, no, there's almost no circumstance in which you have a realistic path to benching Greg Olsen.
Yeah, I agree. It's just it's frustrating. That whole offense has been frustrating. I don't know how Cam Newton completes two long touchdown passes and rushes for a touchdown and doesn't even really have that good of a game. The yards were bad. The completions were extremely bad.
We might be looking at a scenario in week 13 where all three of the top tight ends from before the season are borderline or not startable next week.
So let me talk about that Lamar Miller theory here. And I think this is something, what?
Nothing.
Okay. I think this is something that we have to look at going into next year. I looked at the 10 lowest scoring offenses each of the last 3 years, including this year. And how many running backs out of 30 teams, basically, 10 each year, how many running backs finished in the top 10? So like if the season finished today in standard scoring. And the answer is 5 out of 30. And it would be Forte this year, Gurley, Miller, and Forte on the Bears last year, and Forte in 2014. He's been the constant. Now, look, it's an interesting stat because health has so much to do with where running back finish and all that. But, you know, running backs need touchdowns. Players need touchdowns. And this is standard scoring, not PPR. Maybe that would change things a little bit. But I think Houston, with Hopkins being such a bust, and Miller certainly not living up to his draft stock, and he's not a top 10 running back, which is amazing because he hasn't missed a game. I think Houston's offense being so bad, we did not think this was going to happen, has really killed their fantasy options. But I just think it's interesting. 5 out of 30 running backs over the last 3 years in bottom 10 offenses are top 10 running backs. So what does that say to you guys?
It says to me that running backs that play on teams that don't score points don't score points.
Yeah, that's why I don't know that Lamar Miller is a must-start anymore. He's usually good for between 8 and 11 fantasy points, which is fine.
That's presuming how many running backs are must-start each week. Like, you have 24 of them get started, at least.
Mm-hmm.
There's not 34 offenses in the NFL, so somebody is going to have to start running backs on a bottom 10 offense.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
There's a couple of top 10 or top 20 offenses that don't have good running backs.
That's kind of a tautological argument, too, of like...
I don't know what that means.
Teams that don't... It's an argument that argues itself. Teams that don't score... players who don't score, you know, like it's the answer is baked into the question, and teams that score more are going to have running backs that score more, you know.
Well, yeah, but that's right. But I don't know. I'm trying to think of an example here.
For me, it's just, if he's gonna get 20 touches, I'm not gonna be able to justify sitting him because he needs one play.
He does, but he hasn't been getting those plays because they never score. They don't score. Their offense is so terrible. And Osweiler can't keep drives going. So, I don't know, maybe if you're looking at, it's easy to say Ingram now, but, you know, Ingram versus Miller, you know, in a week where Ingram has a bad matchup and Miller has a good matchup, you know, I think there's enough sample now to say, well, it's not like Ingram's had such a good game. I don't know, Devontae Freeman in a bad matchup versus Miller in a good matchup. I feel like you really shouldn't go with Miller because Freeman is so much more likely to score.
Devontae Freeman's must start every single week.
Yeah, yeah, that for me is like who's the third running back there?
Like you're talking more about, when you're talking about benching him, you're talking more about somebody in the Deion Lewis, James White, or the Darren Sproles, Wendell Smallwood.
Yeah,
those types of guys are the guys just outside of the top 25 running backs.
But look, maybe you hit on Jay Ajayi and Spencer Ware in your draft, and you also took Lamar Miller. Then you can start thinking about it. But
Spencer Ware's not been any good for a month and a half.
It's hard for me to think of a situation kind of like Greg Olsen, where it's just like, in theory, I could see sitting him. In practice, there's probably very few situations where it's actually relevant.
Yeah, maybe it's more of a draft thing for next year. We've really got to start taking into account how much bust potential there is for running backs in bad offenses.
True, but you would have had to done a better job of projecting how bad the Texans' offense is going to be. Yeah.
Well, the Rams stand, Todd Gurley stands out to me.
Yeah, but Todd Gurley is such a tough case because he was so good in an offense that was just as bad.
I know, but I think...
The offense was great yesterday, and he was bad.
It's true. Well, it was great for a half. I think that, like, knowing what we know, if I put this theory into practice and I went back in time, there's no way you could justify taking Todd Gurley over David Johnson, which some people did and some people didn't.
Sure.
But I think maybe now you just fall back as better offense, more opportunities, going to catch the ball, that kind of stuff.
David Johnson's offense hasn't been that good either.
It's been much better, though, than the Rams.
Yes.
I think they've been top 10 in yards. They just turned the ball over.
Okay, let's go to some good news, some happy stuff. The leaders from Sunday only, quarterbacks, were Drew Brees, Colin Kaepernick, and Trevor Siemian. Kaepernick and Simeon are both owned in less than 40% of leagues. Who do you like better, guys?
Kaepernick, obviously. The fact that he's only 39% owned is stunning.
Yeah. How legit is this? Colin Kaepernick. This is four games in a row with at least 23 fantasy points and 38 yesterday.
Well, he'd been a top 10 quarterback since he became a starter. And we talked about it last week and said we expected him to be a top 10 quarterback the rest of the year. That's not changed. I said it last week, I'd rather have him than Marcus Mariota the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Because of the bye in the Broncos.
Yeah, I think you could drop Marcus Mariota for Colin Kaepernick. Mm. Like, I don't think that would be crazy. You're definitely not starting Marcus Mariota for half of the remaining schedule. Like, for sure.
Yeah, that is true. I don't want to drop him and have to play against Mariota in the fantasy playoffs.
What point? When he's facing the Broncos or when he's facing the Chiefs?
The Chiefs, I think you're overrating the Chiefs a little.
Possibly.
I mean, they just got torched by Trevor Siemian, but he needed overtime.
Yeah, and he doesn't have one receiver as good as Emmanuel Sanders or Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
The Chiefs have a serious problem on the right side of their defense.
They have one good corner and one good safety.
Yeah, but every play that Siemian made was on the same side of the field away from Peters, and that's why Demaryius Thomas didn't have a big game and Emmanuel Sanders did. And Fowler, too, for that matter.
Like, you know, Colin Kaepernick has the Bears, the Jets, the Falcons, and the Rams, and you look at the two toughest teams on that schedule are probably the Jets and the Rams, and the reason they're so tough is because they're really good on the defensive line in particular. Well, he just torched arguably one of the three best defensive lines in football, and a big part of why he did is because they're so aggressive. They're so good at creating pressure, but his ability to get out of the pocket makes that something he can use against the defense.
Wait, the Dolphins have one of the best defensive lines in football?
Unquestionably.
Really?
Chris is trying to match my hyperbole about the Chiefs' defense.
This shouldn't be a question.
Yeah, I was unaware of its greatness.
I mean, they've gotten Ndamukong Suh and Cameron Wake. This isn't a hot take.
They had about a month's worth of good play. They were awful early in the season.
I'm not trying to question Troy. I'm just saying I'm surprised to hear that. It did not occur to me that they had that good of a defensive line.
But Colin Kaepernick, either way, I think at this point, it has to be viewed as a QB1. And the fact that he's only 39% owned, it's dumb.
Okay, are you dropping Eli Manning for Colin Kaepernick?
I would have to look at the schedule for Eli.
Eli has Pittsburgh on the road, Dallas, Detroit, Philadelphia on the road, and Washington.
I'd probably just hold on to Eli.
Yeah, but I might start Colin Kaepernick in two of those games.
The thing is, Colin Kaepernick, if you're going to the playoffs, you need to get him just for the same reason you said you don't want to drop Mariota. You don't want to face him in the playoffs.
That's a good point. All right, running backs, Ingram, McCoy, David Johnson, who has seven or more catches in four of his last five games, and Jonathan Stewart, 17 carries, 96 yards, and two touchdowns after three pretty bad games in a row at Seattle, San Diego, at Washington, Atlanta, at Tampa Bay. How much do you trust Jonathan Stewart?
This is one of those guys that you're probably not going to feel great about benching Lamar Miller for.
I was going to go to him, actually. But see, the difference is, like, last year, their offense was so good, and Stewart was pretty reliable, at least in standard. This year, it's not anywhere close. So I never feel confident starting Jonathan Stewart.
I'm going to start Jonathan. I felt great starting him this week. I'm going to start him based on the matchups.
I really didn't. Like, I thought with Khalil out, I really thought he would struggle.
Well, and he really just had one long run. But then he scored the two touchdowns.
Yeah, which is kind of, as we know in Carolina, it's kind of... But it's kind of random, too.
Can be. He's like LeGarrette Blount in a worse offense, you know?
With a more consistent role.
Yes, he's going to get 15 to 20 touches.
Okay.
Not starting him at Seattle this week.
Best wide receivers were Michael Thomas, Mike Evans, and how about Emmanuel Sanders, who had 8, 4, 8, 6, 4, and 5 fantasy points in his previous six games, and only one game in that stretch with more than 5 catches. Comes up with 7 for 162 and a touchdown on 10 targets. Do you feel better now about Emmanuel Sanders?
feel pretty good about him for at least the next two games, maybe three.
At Jacksonville, at Tennessee, and New England.
Yeah, I think those are pretty good matchups for him.
He's a nice borderline number two receiver. Not going to get too excited about anything more than that.
I don't know. Because I was really making the case that Sanders was almost droppable, like
right.
like Willie Snead, and I don't really feel like backing off of that. Simeon looked very good. He's healthier now. He moved around pretty well last night.
You don't know who you're dropping Emmanuel Sanders and Willie Snead for, though.
Are you dropping Willie Snead for Tyreek Hill?
No.
I would consider it.
Marquise Wilson?
No.
I don't see why not. I don't get it with Willie Snead. What the hell is so good about Willie Snead? He hasn't done anything since like the third week of the season or second week of the season.
Tyreek Hill and Marquise Wilson and all these guys are aspiring to be Emmanuel Sanders and Willie Snead.
I don't understand the appeal of Willie Snead. He is the third receiver on that team. He got, okay, take away the passing touchdown yesterday. And I don't get it. I'm sorry. I don't know. I've been arguing about this for weeks now. I know he had a two touchdown game not too long ago, but other than that, he's been nothing. He's not even that good in PPR. I don't get it.
You would drop Marvin Jones over, Willie Snead, right?
Yeah.
You're probably hanging on to Willie Snead and Emmanuel Sanders.
Look, it's not you're dropping for a wide receiver. Maybe you're picking up a quarterback or something like that.
Yeah.
And he's a guy you need to drop. He's a guy, your worst player on your team. That's all. Something like that.
Yeah, I think most people have worse players than Emmanuel Sanders and Willie Snead in their team.
All right, it's easy to say that now, but 7 weeks ago was the last time Emmanuel Sanders did anything.
Yeah.
You know, and... Again,
I think that's a slight exaggeration, but it was.
It's not. He had six straight games with no more than 8 fantasy points, and only one game with more than 5 catches.
Well, but
we just said 9 points is a number 2.
All right, two games as a borderline number 2 wide receiver in his last 6 is not a guy that needs to be owned.
Well, now he is.
All right, tight ends. Tyler Eifert 1, Deion Sims, Lance Kendricks. And Delanie Walker, I think we're all tied for second, something like that. Let's talk about Lance Kendricks, and let's talk about Kenny Britt and Tavon Austin, whatever. But Jared Goff, actually, big improvement from week 1 to week 2 for him. And now they're at New England, which is going to be a slaughter. But do you have any more faith in the passing game for the Rams now?
How many times do they get to face the Saints in the Superdome?
They get to face the Falcons in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the schedule, though, Patriots, Falcons, Seahawks, I'll feel okay about them in week 16.
Niners.
Yeah, maybe if somebody drops Kenny Britt in the next 3 weeks, I might pick him up for my championship game, but that's probably the only guy I feel any amount of confidence in this offense.
Malcolm Mitchell or Kenny Britt?
I think I'd go Kenny Britt.
Yeah, Kenny Britt.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
Why?
Because you don't want... All right, maybe I misinterpreted what you said. You said he's the only one you have confidence in?
Mm-hmm.
But you also just said, like, they're not going to play the Saints in the Superdome.
Sure.
But...
You wouldn't rather take a shot on Malcolm Mitchell? I mean, there's so much more upside.
Kenny Britt's got a pair of 100-yard games. He's got a 20-point fantasy game. He's got a touchdown and 3
Kenny
assists.
Britt's actually... going to end up with a very nice season.
Yeah, we're talking about a 1,000-yard season coming up for Kenny Britt really shortly.
I'm worried about Goff, though, that's all.
No, I am, too. I don't know. Malcolm Mitchell is maybe the third option in New England.
He might be number two.
Maybe.
Oh, but Willie Snead's great. He's clearly number three.
Well, that's
an
offense that's going to score more points.
I think we have
he's so much better than the Patriots, that crap Patriots offense.
I think we have a longer track record of Drew Brees sustaining that many fantasy-relevant players in an offense. Like, for as great as the Patriots offense has been, they haven't had, like, 4 fantasy-relevant wide receivers at once or passing game options at once.
There's no way the Saints have had 4... fantasy relevant.
They definitely have.
They don't have 4 now. We're only saying they have 3.
And they have 4.
No, they have 3. Who's the 4th? Fleener?
Kobe Fleener's
no,
a...
No! What? No!
No.
He's a usable tight end.
He is not! He is one of the most over-owned players in fantasy. He's like 85% owned. It blows my mind every week.
Okay.
What, you 4 points is usable?
Hey, but either way, like, the Patriots often only have two usable fantasy options in the receiving game.
But they get their running backs much more involved in the passing game.
But that's still going to be the case here, which is why Malcolm Mitchell, like...
It's tied to Gronk. But if we find out tonight that Gronk is out for 3 weeks, I'd much rather have Malcolm Mitchell than Kenny Britt.
Tom Brady doesn't play that well when Gronk's not there, though. Like, for the most part.
Well, okay, but his fantasy production in two games this year without Gronkowski has been fine. Four touchdowns against the 49ers, and then it went like 23-ish fantasy points yesterday.
Yeah.
Good matchups. Let's give him that. I mean, Niners and Jets, pretty easy.
Yeah, I can't get that excited about, like, I don't know, I didn't get excited about Chris Hogan earlier in the season. Maybe.
Understand. Makes sense. Okay. All right. Here we go. Hot takes for the rest of the show. Ready? Sterling Shepard, hot take. Zero catches, zero targets.
He's really tough to trust.
He's more droppable than Willie Snead and Emmanuel Sanders.
He is absolutely not more droppable than Willie Snead. He just came off an 11 target game and his best game. Oh my God. Okay.
At what point of the season would you grab to say that Sterling Shepard has been better than Willie Snead?
The last 3 weeks.
Except for not this week.
But no, Willie Snead, if you take away the pass touchdown, he's barely better than Sterling Shepard.
Okay. He's been outscored by him over the season. He's been outscored by him over the last month.
He's coming on, though. He had a touchdown in three straight games before this.
Had zero targets in the middle of his coming on.
It's extremely weird. Eli Manning threw the second fewest pass attempts of the season. He played a horrible game, by the way. They were winning the whole time, so they didn't have to throw.
He's got 476 yards on the season.
That was a depressing fantasy game yesterday.
It really was.
That was so stupid.
Separate Giants DST.
I'd rather have Tyreek Hill than Sterling Shepard.
That's silly. That is the thing. That is a complete disregard for touchdowns.
He gave me a look that said, I don't actually believe this,
but I want to hear it.
Because the Giants' offense is going to score a lot more touchdowns. Tyreek Hill, by the way, is averaging 9.5 yards per catch. So let's put that in perspective a little bit. Shepard's getting better. He's a rookie. This was a weird game. But if we're just going to say, like, it's fine for Brandon Cooks, it's fine for Sterling Shepard. And the Giants just didn't have a good game offensively.
Sterling Shepard's averaging 10.5 yards per catch.
That's a yard more!
Yard more. That's three.
That's a lot!
That's 3 feet. That's 36 inches.
Ugh. Hot take, Allen Robinson and his bad game with Denver and Minnesota coming up.
Marquise Lee might outscore him this year.
Ooh. That is...
I mean, you're asking for hot takes,
right? That is a hot take. I mean, from this point on, maybe. Because he does play more in the slot, and that might be where those two defenses are more vulnerable. It's going to be really tough to start Allen Robinson the next 2 weeks.
There's no way I'm starting Allen Robinson. Yeah,
maybe you should have traded him after last week.
I said that like 3 weeks ago.
Well, you would have missed two good games though. Too early. So, do you like Allen Robinson or Emmanuel Sanders more?
Rest of season. I think there might be 30 receivers I like more than Allen Robinson rest of season just because of the Denver and Minnesota matchups and what it means right now in crunch time.
Yeah. You know how close Willie Snead and Allen Robinson seasons are to each other?
I think we got back on the Allen Robinson train a little bit too early.
Well, I mean, look, he was one of the six or seven best receivers in football last year. He had a three-game stretch with 250 yards, two touchdowns, and over 12 targets in each game. Like, that seems like a pretty good time to get back on the bandwagon. It's just, if you had the foresight to look ahead and say Denver and Minnesota are on the schedule.
Which we did. We did. And Houston, though. That was the thing. I said it was Houston, too, and he did fine against Houston. And he does another game against the Texans. Hot take on Steve Smith. 4 catches on 4 targets for 20 yards.
Go ahead, Chris. You hate him. Do it.
And don't hate him. He's a 37-year-old with a bad quarterback, so inconsistency is going to be an issue.
I'd rather have Willie Snead.
I would rather have Steve Smith.
I mean, Snead's been better on a per-game basis.
I don't know if that's true.
Steve Smith has 71 fantasy points in 9 games.
Okay.
So just under 8 per game. Willie Snead.
Well, he had the one game where he left in the first quarter.
Oh, so, okay. Okay.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
Willie Snead has 89 in 10 games.
So.
Just under 9 per game.
So they're basically about the same, because 71 in 8 games for Steve Smith.
71 in 9 games.
No, in 8 games. We don't count the game he got injured.
69.
Okay, well, Willie Snead missed a game due to injury, too.
No. We don't count the game that he played hardly any of it and then got injured.
He's been right around 8 to 9 fantasy points per game, just like Willie Snead has. It's fine.
Yeah, Willie Snead. Look at weeks 1 and week 2. Take weeks 1 and 2 out of the equation when, Willie Snead might be the best receiver on this. No. Willie Snead is so overrated. Holy cow!
Keith impersonation is spot on.
That was impersonating like all 4 analysts. Everybody. And me too. Fine. Like I'm not calling everyone out but me.
We rate him as a top 30, 35 wide receiver.
Then stop calling him, stop making him out to be so good. 30 to 35 is not a guy who's must own. You can drop that.
If they're 30 to 35 each week?
Yes.
Would.
All right.
It depends on what your team looks like.
I'm not saying you have to drop Willie Snead.
Oh, this is a ballot.
Why? How did Willie Snead become the guy that was going to fire me up today? Jeremy Hill, hot take on him. 6 catches for 61 yards, but 12 carries for 21.
He is a mediocre running back in a bad offense who's going to get a ton of work.
He's Lamar Miller, but not quite as good.
Yeah, he's in that like Lamar Miller, Todd Gurley range of guys, Jonathan Stewart, of guys that you're just... It's really hard to bench any running back that gets 18 touches in a game, and that's what he's at in the two that we've seen without... You're the 1.25 that Giovanni Bernard hasn't played.
I will say that a lot of those guys we just talked about are going to be matchup dependent.
Yeah.
If the matchups are exactly the same, he's my least favorite of all of them.
This was one of the toughest matchups he could have, though, the Ravens, to give him credit. And not that I like Hill so much, but what I just thought was interesting was that he got the catches, you know?
He's going to be on the field a ton.
He still split snaps with Rex Burkhead almost 50-50, though, right?
That's crazy.
I'm not sure, but Burkhead had 2 catches and Hill had 6. Not to say that's going to happen every week. How about this hot take on Kenneth Dixon, who's 63% owned and had a slightly better game, 1 yard better than Terrence West. Well, 1 yard rushing, 15 receiving.
It's starting to happen. He had 8 more snaps than Terrence West yesterday as well. This is he's 63% owned. I think he's someone who should be probably the most added running back this week, right? Is there anybody?
Yep, he's the second best running back in the AFC North.
Yeah, second best for fantasy, that's for sure. You know why I'm hesitant to rate running backs?
Hill's still better.
In fantasy, you'd rather have Hill than...
I'd rather have Jeremy Hill.
Actually, that's fine. I was probably a little quick to rush to judgment there. I'm hesitant to rate running backs and say he's good, he's bad, because of Jay Ajayi. When everybody pretty much thought, no, this guy's not very good. And then you could see how important the offensive line is. And I know that Jeremy Hill's offensive line has not been good this year.
Running backs are fungible. They are fungible assets. There's a reason that most teams don't want to invest a lot in them. There's a reason teams that invest a lot in running backs tend to not get a great return on investment in them. The Cowboys let DeMarco Murray walk 2 years ago after he was the best running back in football, arguably, and they haven't really missed a beat.
Chris, what did you get on the verbal portion of your SATs?
740.
Really? That's impressive.
I'm a writer, Adam.
I know, but like, I love your vocab. It's tremendous. Good for you.
How do you know that still?
Because it's the only thing I have going for me.
Did we?
I was a terrible student, but I did really well in the SATs. So,
did we talk about Amari Cooper?
We did not.
He sucks.
Oh, I thought he was the best player on the Raiders.
Well, he is, but Derek Carr doesn't know it. So,
are you worried at all about this?
They're just not forcing the ball to him.
Yeah, it's a little like Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like they're willing to take what the defense gives them when it's there. He had 7 targets. He didn't have a big game, but I still feel very confident in him as a top 10 receiver pretty much any week.
Okay, he's only had more than 8 targets once in his last 5 games and more than 57 yards once in those 5 games. So it's been a bit of a struggle. I think he had a Denver game in there.
Also, really nice arbitrary
endpoint. He's got a nice schedule to finish the season, though, and I think that is, at this point, the most important thing. I mean, you look at Buffalo, their defense is good overall because they've got a great pass rush, but they are susceptible to big plays by receivers. The Chiefs, they're a pretty good matchup, but then the Chargers and the Colts to finish off the season, it's a pretty nice way to finish the season for Amari Cooper.
We're going to finish off the show with an email here. Actually, first, give me a hot take on Willie Snead, guys.
He is talking between 25 and 35
we've
every
talked
week.
Way too much about Willie Snead already.
I completely agree. So let's go to Brandon from the stinky hometown of the Strawberry Festival.
Hi, Brandon.
What the hell is the Strawberry? I think it's in New York.
Okay. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, Brandon. He says, "Dear Charlie, Chris, and Jameis, and soon to be Dalvin, go Noles." That is disgusting, Brandon. Because Emmanuel Sanders is a poopy head, I'm now down 15.4 points because decimal scoring is a must. In an absolute must win to get into the playoffs, who do I play tonight in PPR? I need 15.4 points. Davante Adams, James Starks, or Wendell Smallwood?
I think Wendell Smallwood, sorry, the email has me confused.
Yes,
Wendell Smallwood is a very high variance play tonight because he could get a ton of snaps or he could get eight.
Did you say PPR?
Yeah.
I would go Adams. Yeah, I would go Davante Adams, but I think Smallwood does have a high ceiling.
And I almost forgot to update the Kelvin Benjamin, Michael Floyd scoreboard because Floyd was making a charge before Benjamin's touchdown catch. Kelvin Benjamin, 103.6. Michael Floyd, 59.
Well, thank you. I'm really we can now end the thank you. Thank you, Heath. Appreciate that.
Least impressive big play in the NFL this season.
Except for like, anyone made by Willie Snead or Emmanuel Sanders.
He caught that thing with his thighs somehow.
I like the Packers to win tonight, by the way.
All right.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a bonanza.
Yeah.
Lots of fantasy points.
There are a lot of fantasy games riding on tonight.
Oh, yeah. Almost all of them.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
All right, guys, we out of here. For Chris and Heath, I'm Adam. Thank you all for listening. Really soon.